다 같이 오늘 일어나셔서 오늘 하나님께서 우리에게 주실 말씀 John chapter 1 verse 1 through 5 우리 요한복음 1장 1절에서 5절 말씀 하나님의 말씀으로 받겠습니다. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 그가 태초에 하나님과 함께 계셨고 만물이 그로 말미암아 지은 바 되었으니 지은 것이 하나도 그가 없이는 된 것이 없느니라. In him was life, and the life was the light of the man. 빛이 어둠에 빛이 돼 어둠이 깨닫지 못하더라. 하나님의 말씀입니다. 아멘. We have a very, very special speaker this morning. 우리 황양 목사님 오늘 아침에 설교해 주실 텐데 오늘 제목이 말씀의 기쁨입니다. Joy in the world. 이번에 원래 우리가 표어를 기쁨으로 일어나라 하고 기도를 했는데 우리 같이 한번 해볼까요? 제가 기쁨으로 하면 여러분들이 일어나라 하는 겁니다. 기쁨으로 기쁨으로 일어나라 일어나라. 아멘. 우리 이번 새벽 기도뿐만 아니라 우리 올 한 해 주님 앞에 새벽을 끌 뿐만 아니라 우리 영혼이 일어나고 모든 것이 새롭게 일어난 시간 되시길 바랍니다. 요한 우리 잔화 목사님이 우리가 오실 때만 해도 미국 사람이었어요. 한국말을 전혀 못했는데 KCPC가 난 얼마나 정말 특별한 목사님인지 오늘 여러분들께서 하늘은으로 설교를 하실 텐데 우리 한번 하늘은이가 뭔지 한번 기대해 보시기 바랍니다. 우리 크게 박수로 격려하겠습니다. 전하 목사님.
굿 모닝. Can we turn to our neighbor and say the Lord has risen and so have I. For us, Yeongeokwon, it was really hard this morning, wasn't it? But so glad to see everyone. 금요 특별 새벽기도 나오신 사랑한 성도님들, 주님의 이름으로 환영하고 축복합니다. Not bad. Not bad. Well, brothers and sisters, I have a question. Have you ever started buttoning up your shirt and then halfway through, realize you started wrong? Eventually, everything looks crooked and misaligned. So what do you have to do? You can't just fix the last button or start fixing the button midway. You have to unbutton everything and start over. And we know, don't we, that the issue wasn't the button. It was the starting point. Now that's a picture of our spiritual condition, that much of our confusion and frustration we experience in our lives comes from starting at the wrong place with God. And usually there are two ways this happens. First, we can start with a self-centered view of life. That from an early age, we instinctively see life through the lens of me. What do I want? What will make me happy? How can I succeed, be secure, be recognized? And even when we think about God, we often begin with how the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, might fit into our plans, our goals, our needs. God becomes someone we consult when life is difficult or uncertain, but not someone we consistently center all of our lives around. Second, we can start off with a very small view of God. One of the clearest signs of our brokenness is that we naturally shrink God down to something more manageable. We treat Jesus like just a moral teacher to learn from, a spiritual resource to draw from, or a safety net to fall into, but not the central, all-glorious, all-sufficient King of the universe. Now, in this view, we don't reject God entirely, but we do repackage him to fit into our preferences. But brothers and sisters, know this, that our God cannot satisfy us if we only see him existing to serve us according to our preferences and expectations. Because when we reduce God and his greatness, we will also diminish our joy. Now, in both cases, whether we start with ourselves or shrink God to fit our expectations, the result is the same. Everything else becomes misaligned. That includes our identity, our values, our relationships, our peace, and our joy. They all lose their clarity and stability. Why? Because we were never meant to be the center, and God was never meant to be small. 우리 삶의 혼란과 답답함이 많은 이유는 잘못된 중심에서 시작하기 때문입니다. 우리는 흔히 자신을 중심에 두거나 하느님을 우리가 원하는 대로 다룰 수 있는 분처럼 생각합니다. 하지만 이렇게 되면 삶이 어긋납니다. 우리는 중심이 아니고 예수님만이 참된 중심이십니다. That's why the Apostle John begins the gospel the way that he does. He doesn't start with Jesus' birth. He doesn't start with Jesus' teaching. He doesn't even start at the cross. But instead, he takes us all the way back beyond history and beyond creation to what we oftentimes call eternity past. Now, I realize that eternity past sounds like a contradiction. Eternity past isn't a time period as we usually understand it because time itself hadn't begun. But it is helpful for us, limited creatures, to describe what John is pointing to. A reality before the beginning where only God was. That's the setting of John 1:1, where he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And then climactically he says, "And the Word was God." From the very beginning, John tells us that life is completely God-centered. And if we do not start here, everything else becomes distorted. This is where we must begin, not with ourselves, but with God. And John refuses to let us think that we can shrink God down into something familiar, manageable, or merely useful. He begins with God in his fullness, eternal, self-existent, and uncreated. Even before there was life to explain, even before there was meaning to search for or purpose to construct, the Word was. Now, that little word was carries enormous meaning. For in the Greek, it's not the word for something that came into being, but for something that has always existed. It speaks of a continuous, eternal existence. 요한복음 1장 1절에 나오는 헬라어 단어 was 이었다는 예수님이 영원하고 선재하신 존재라는 것을 강조합니다. But why does John call Jesus the Word? Why not just Jesus? Why not the Son of God? There is a reason. For the Jewish audience, it would recall the powerful voice of God in the Old Testament, the Word that creates, the Word that commands, the Word that reveals, the Word that sustains, and the Word that saves. As Psalm 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts." 유대인들에게는 말씀이라는 표현은 창조하고 명령하며 구원하시는 하나님의 강력한 음성을 떠올리게 했을 것입니다. But John also knows his Greek audience. They would hear the word logos with a very different nuance. In their philosophical world of that time, logos meant reason, order, or the principle that held the universe together. And many believed in some vague, impersonal force behind life. But the Apostle John makes a bold claim. The Logos you have been searching for is not an idea or a concept or a truth. He's a person, and his name is Jesus. 요한은 요한 복음을 시작하면서 예수님은 영원하시고 변함이 없으신 참 하느님이시라는 사실을 선포합니다. 로고스가 단순한 개념이 아니라 한 사람인 예수 그리스도라고 선포합니다. It is nothing short of remarkable that through the word, John brings both the Jewish world and the Greco-Roman world together under the same eternal word, Jesus Christ. That really resonates with me deeply in my own life as a second-generation Korean-American minister. I've had the privilege of serving within two different cultures. And even within those two cultures, there are many subcultures. And yes, along the way, there have been plenty of awkward and humorous moments. Do you know how I survived for 10 years in the Korean church? With one word, 네. 네? 네. 네?
Hallelujah.
But what has consistently amazed me is the way Christ brings two different cultures together. Yes, there are challenges. Cultural differences are real, and ministry across cultures is never easy. But one of the greatest joys I have witnessed is this: people learning to loosen their grip on their personal preferences and instead hold fast to Christ, the one who holds us in his arms all the time. I really felt this during this past week's special morning prayer service. 이번 주 특별 새벽 기도를 통해서요, 저 개인적으로 참 많은 은혜를 받았습니다. 우리 KM 목사님들의 설교를 들으면서요, 제가 거의 한 60%, 70% 정도에 이해가 되더라고요. 그래서 속으로 이렇게 생각했습니다. 아, 드디어 내가 한국말 실력이 좀 늘었구나. 할렐루야. 저한테는 할렐루야입니다. 그런데 조금 지나서 보니까요, 제가 그렇게 한국말이 늘어서가 아니더라고요. 알고 보니 우리 훌륭한 KM 목사님들께서 영어를 훨씬 더 많이 써주고 계셨던 거였습니다. 그러면 저는 어떻게 해야 할까요? 포기할까요? 아닙니다. 2026년에도 저는 기쁘게, 즐겁게 한국어 공부를 계속해 나가려고 합니다. 저는 기도 제목 두 개입니다. Blessing Park and For My Korean. 그런데 여기서 한 가지 질문을 물어보고 싶습니다. 오늘 우리를 이렇게 하나로 묶어주는 것은 무엇일까요? 언어나 문화는 서로를 이해하는 데 도움이 될 수 있습니다. 하지만 그것이 우리를 진짜 하나 되게 하지는 못합니다. 우리를 참으로 하나 되게 하시는 분, 그분은 예수 그리스도만 있습니다. Now, what was the word doing before creation?
창조 이전에 예수님은 무엇을 하고 계셨을까요? 예수님은 창조 이전부터 하느님 아버지와 완전하고 사랑이 넘치는 교제 가운데 계셨습니다.
In verse 1 and 2, John says the word was with God and he was in the beginning with God. The Greek phrasing here suggests face-to-face closeness, intimacy. From eternity past, there was only glorious, joyful, and overflowing love within the Trinity. And we get a further glimpse of their relationship in John chapter 17,
verses 24, where Jesus prays to his Father, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. It is no wonder that shortly after Jesus prays this prayer, he enters into the greatest pain ever known. And no, the greatest pain was not the crown of thorns, nor was it even the cross itself. The deepest agony was the moment of separation between Jesus and his Father. The loss of the fellowship he had known from all eternity.
가장 큰 고통은 예수님께서 하나님 아버지로부터 버려지심을 경험하신 것이었습니다.
And here's why that matters. God didn't create us because he was bored or lacking. He created us out of his abundance, like a cup filled to the brim. Creation is the overflow of the perfect love that God already had existing within him. But how many times do we treat our relationship with God, with Jesus, as something that is transactional? That if we do this and this and this, then perhaps then God will finally see me. Then God will finally love me. But brothers and sisters, God did not make us because he needed something from us. He made us so that we could share in his joy. The love he always had within the Trinity, he now extends to you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now it's out of that abundance, John says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now here, John says it plainly, that Jesus is the creator of all things, and therefore, he is the rightful Lord over all things. Now for us with little children, we know that even children know this concept. After their two favorite words, mommy and daddy, their next favorite two words is no and mine. They tell this with each other and with their parents. No, this is mine. But only God can truly say to his children, no, this is mine. Now, that is good news. How many years have we lived as though we were the masters of our own lives, the masters of our careers, our marriages, and our children? Brothers and sisters, know this, that at best, we make weary lords. At worst, we are disastrous ones. But Christ is a faithful Lord, strong where we are weak, wise where we are blind, and gracious where we fall short. 예수님은 모든 것을 창조하신 분이시고, 그래서 모든 것의 주인이십니다. 예수님은 신실한 주인이십니다. 우리가 약할 때 강하시고, 보지 못할 때 지혜로우시며, 부족할 때 은혜로우신 분이십니다.
Everything that we have ever made or built has been made with what Christ has already created. When you stop and think about it, that is astonishing. We think about 2025. Think about how much effort it took to complete your education, maintain your relationships, build your careers, and raise your families. It takes tremendous effort, and we struggle all the time, and many times we fail. But know this, Christ creates and sustains all things simply by the power of his word. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we rejoice, for he says over our careers, He says, mine. Over our marriages, he says, mine. Over our children, he says, mine. And over us, fully and graciously, he says to you this morning, you are mine. Romans 8:38, verse 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is exceedingly good news because we can start 2026 by resting. Resting not in our lordship, but resting in the lordship of Jesus Christ. 예수 그리스도의 주 되심은 우리에게 참으로 기쁨 소식입니다. 예수 그리스도께서는 은혜로 우리의 삶을 자신의 것으로 삼으시며 우리가 스스로 다스리는 것보다 훨씬 더 잘 우리를 다스리시는 분이십니다. And this is the gospel. This is the good news because he does not come to us because we were so deserving, but rather we are told he comes to us while we were still weak, caught in the snare of our sins. But he claims us anyways because he made us. But he doesn't purchase us with gold or silver, but with the very blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you know who you are? Perhaps this morning you don't. And what you must realize is that in order for you to know who you are, you must remember whose you are. You are the sons and daughters of God. Amen? But is there anything that belongs to us? 그러나 우리에게 속한 것이 있습니까? John says, yes, but. You see, John never speaks of possession in autonomous terms. What belongs to us is never detached from Christ. John tells us in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, life is not something Christ merely gives and then steps back from. Life resides in him. It belongs to him by nature, and it flows from who he is. And whatever life we have today, we have only because we share in his life. Now, this should immediately confront us, shouldn't it? Because we are constantly tempted to look for life in all sorts of different places and different people. We try to draw life from our success, our control, our relationships, and our security. We look back into 2025 and think about all the ways we have succeeded. I challenge you today, look at all the ways in which you failed, for there you will find God, and in him you will find his success. That though we were faithless, he was faithful. Though we were weak, he was strong. Life is found in only one place, John says. In Jesus Christ. And because when you are with King Jesus and resting in him, you no longer need to belong to every group or chase every opportunity, especially doing so coming at the cost of something biblical, God-honoring priorities that matter far more, such as your walk with him. You begin to accept some hard realities. In 2026, just like 2025, not everyone will accept you. Not everyone might like you. And no, you will not get to experience every opportunity in this life. And in many ways, that means your heart dies a little more each year. But the question is, what will we do with that loss? Some people will chase life everywhere else but Jesus. But John tells us the life that we are so looking for cannot be found anywhere else
but in Jesus. And when you find that life, you will possess the light that belongs to men. The light of men. You see, the life that Jesus gives does not remain hidden. Life becomes light. The light John is speaking about is not success, positive thinking, or moral polish, but it is clarity. It is the ability to see reality as it truly is, because Christ's life now dwells in you. And so, brothers and sisters, is the life of Jesus in you this morning? Because that is what your children need to see. That is what your wives and your husbands need to see. That is what your coworkers, your bosses need to see. Not more of you in 2026, but more of Jesus. But Christian, remember this. When the light shines in you, the world will no longer be your friend. And John prepares us for this reality in verse 5. Here he moves from describing what the light is to showing us how the light is received by the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now that we know what the light is, John's words comes into sharper focus. The light is the life of Christ shared with us, giving us the ability to see rightly. And that light does not shine in a neutral environment. For many years in my ministry, I thought that if I was clear in my teaching and if I preached with conviction, then people will change. But I forgot that I do not live in a neutral environment. The Bible tells us that our flesh is hostile towards Jesus Christ. It is not because of a lack of information or a lack of education. It is because we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, the good news is, one of the first things that John emphasizes here is persistence. The light shines. It is written in the present tense. The light did not shine just once in the past and then faded away. It is not waiting to shine again in the future. It is shining right now, and it continues to shine. And therefore, Christ continues to reveal the victory of his Father. His life continues to give sight to the blind, and those who share in his life continues to see the world and themselves quite differently, even while the darkness remains. But children of God, do not fear. Though not everything is the way that it should be, we see here a glorious promise. The darkness has not overcome the light. Now, year after year, darkness chips away at us. We change. We become a little bit more jaded. We call that wisdom. But not really. It's actually faithlessness. You are placing your faith in something that is other than God. And like what John said, there is no life there. It is precisely here in the gospel that John wants to leave us. Not fearful of the dark, not discouraged by opposition, but rooted in the unshakable truth that Christ has conquered sin, shame, guilt, and death. That we would be with him now and forevermore. I love the way that John writes his gospel. He is refocusing us away from ourselves and onto God. And when we focus upon God, he's not satisfied even with that. He wants to increase our vision. In the book, Prince Caspian, The Return to Narnia, one of the main characters, Lucy, meets Aslan again after a long time. If you don't know who Aslan is, he's the great lion who represents God in the story. By this point, Lucy is not just a little girl anymore. She's grown older. And so when she sees Aslan, she runs to him and she cries, Aslan, Aslan, dear Aslan, you're bigger. Aslan gently answers, "That's because you are older, little one." Lucy, baffled, asks him, "Not because you are?" Aslan responds, "I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." That's such a beautiful picture of what it means to grow in faith. God doesn't change, but year after year, as we grow in our faith, the greater we see God to be. What else is giving you confidence in 2026? Is it your resolutions? Certainly can't be. I've lost already 10 pounds. Don't worry, I will gain 20 in 2026. It is not because of my resolutions or my resolve that I am confident that 2026 will be filled with blessings. I am confident, not even because of the blessings, but rather because of the blesser, because of the resolution that God made towards you and to your family, to this church, that I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. 하나님은 변하지 않으시지만 우리가 하나님을 이해하는 깊이는 점점 자라납니다. 믿음 안에서 자라갈수록 하나님의 영광과 은혜, 능력과 임재를 더욱 깊이 알아가게 됩니다. 하나님께서 더 커지시는 것이 아니라 우리는 점점 더 그분을 바르게 보고 있는 것입니다. As we continue to walk in that light in 2026, something begins to change, not in Christ, but in us. And the longer we look at him, the clearer he becomes, the greater he becomes. The more the light shines, the greater he appears, not because he has grown, but because our eyes have been opened by his grace. Brothers and sisters, with that, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being the center of this church. If there is anything that that can unite us, it is not our efforts, but it is King Jesus. We love because he first loved us. We serve because he came to serve, not to be served. Oh Lord, we thank you that it is not you that changes, but we rest assured, even in 2026, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hence, we know where we can find our joy. It's joy in the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.